There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
You know what I'm bitter about with these Brazilian suckas? These sucky suckies?
Sucks.
These sucks?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to make me afraid of refrigerators? What is this? Some kind of skinny conspiracy? Trying to make me afraid of flying refrigerators?
Like, I mean, that's horrible.
I'm not afraid of what's happening to my body?
I never want to be scared of my refrigerator. That's really bad. I'd much rather be scared of my washer and dryer so I don't have to use it.
That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
If you thought a little goblin lived in there, and that's why your clothes slowly become covered with longer and longer shit streaks.
Oh, no! That's the real horror, isn't it? Is that how we're starting?
I guess so.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben with Marcus and with Henry as well. So today's episode, this is going to be fun. We promised you something spooky. We promised you something scary because we are in October!
Yes.
Very excited. And today we are covering dangerous UFOs, not of America, but rather of Brazil.
Brazil! So you're just delighted by the foreignness of it.
Brazil! This is going to be a lot of fun.
Brazil's got, so we're going to find out, has got some of the most condensed, intense UFO activity in the entire world. And it was brought to us on a platter. By beautiful French ufologist. I want to say probably the most classically handsome ufologist.
Yes.
Jacques Vallée.
Indeed. Great name, too.
Yes. He's very... I mean, he will lick your pussy.
I know that.
Now, the alien encounters covered in this week's episode are going to be a little different from the ones we've talked about in the past. See, usually, we refer to people who have had experiences with aliens as abductees, or something similar.
I think the preferred term now is experiencer.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't that strange?
But in this episode, we're going to be referring to the people unfortunate enough to be involved in this particular flap. As victims.
They're victims. This is the most we've ever cheered at the word victims.
Wow, I don't like that. These UFOs are being very mean-spirited in Brazil.
It's like, I feel like Kissel has just grown a chef's hat. Now, because he keeps making the Mamma Mia, like Italian fingers every single time he says Brazil.
Yes.
Now, as far as what the malevolent creatures involved here were called, they had many names. They were called the light, the fire, the animal, the worm, the apparatus, the machine, the thing, the train, or in their literal interpretation, disco voyador.
Oh, very cool.
That's a flying plate.
Although the apparatus is a little bit like, do I have to be nicknamed the apparatus? It sounds like something that's used to make a woman orgasm after she was deemed crazy in the 1910s.
Well, it also sounds like the name of a guy that's a dentist during the day, but at night he wears like a dildo inside of himself.
The apparatus.
And he tries to like fuck through his dick with the dildo behind it, like giving him backup all night, every night.
Oh my God, you just see the detective put his thumb into a pile of cum, lick it with his tongue and say, the apparatus. The apparatus was indeed here.
I'd actually be preferred to be called on my day name, Warren.
But in the region of Brazil, where all this we're going to talk about today happened, they're best known as the Chupa Chupa, which translates literally as the Suck Suck.
And you know, when you go down to Brazil, there's one thing you're looking for, and you're actually wondering if you'll find,
right,
is some of the Suck Suck.
Absolutely.
But you don't think that you'd get the, I'm going to say, the results of the Suck Suck. In a dangerous way.
No, I mean, with any luck, you'll just get a lollipop. Aren't they called chupas?
That's chup-chups.
Chup-chups. Oh, okay, different.
Yeah. Well, that's what they call lollipops in Brazil?
The lollipop. It's a Spanish lollipop,
it's a sucker.
Right?
Yeah, it's just a sucker. It's like a Tootsie Roll or a Tootsie Pop.
Is that what your German grandfather called his quote-unquote clients when he was living down there?
Interesting. Wow. Isn't that interesting?
But there is a reason for the name Suck Suck. It was said by these people who lived in a fairly rural area of Brazil that each person who had an encounter with these aliens had holes on their body where it was assumed blood was sucked out.
It's not even just assumed. There is some quite a bit of people they believe in some of these quote-unquote attacks. We'll say attacks. We don't know the actual agenda of these objects, or in fact, they were even piloted at all.
They want to suck.
If you really want to stick to Jacques Vallée, they may want to suck. They came here looking for, I know, just looking for a suck. Yeah. But what they ended up getting was blood. Oh. But they can drain up to, they said 3 milliliters of blood.
Damn.
It's barely registrable, but.
That is blood, though.
Well, happening in two waves in the late 70s and, to a lesser extent, the early 90s, encounters during the Brazilian UFO flap usually resulted in mild to extreme physical and mental distress in the humans they attempted to abduct.
If that's what, in fact, they were doing.
If. That's very true.
Okay. This is sad because Brazil is so beautiful. People are hanging out on the beach. Everyone is gorgeous. Just don't interrupt them. This is why you just, like, go to Pittsburgh and people will be thrilled to be like, get me out of here.
Essentially,
but let them be in Brazil, would
you? They did these attacks at night, quote unquote attacks. Again, I'm not going to assume they were attacking yet, but all of this happened at night, and it happened, and I want to say, in some of the less beautiful parts of Brazil.
Okay.
Where maybe the coasts, I imagine, are beautiful.
Yes.
But these were fishing villages where they don't often, like, if they have G-strings, a lot of times, if they had a pile of G-strings,
sure,
they'd use it to catch a bunch of carp.
Oh.
Well, mostly, the extreme physical and mental distress was due to the method of abduction. Each of the experiences we're going to cover in today's episode sound like a cluster of walking nightmares, with no two experiences being exactly the same, although there is a running theme. Usually, the UFOs appeared at night with a sudden burst of what the Brazilians refer to as sudden daylight.
Whoa!
They described it as the clean white light of an iridescent bulb.
Huh.
Quite often, they said it felt like they went to a doctor's office. Like, it's that type of, like when you go to a dentist or something like that, where it was an immediate and intense, very clear LED-level spotlight.
Right, and much like when you go to the dentist, you end up molested. We all remember that Seinfeld episode, which they just kind of laughed about, but he was getting jerked off by his dentist. Jerry Seinfeld was.
This is before, that was in a time when men couldn't be victims.
Ice.
Now, naturally, people would run, but that's when the UFO would shine a kind of tractor beam lasso made of light that would slowly but surely pull the victim back. But since this was Brazil, there were usually plenty of trees for people to hold on to as they were being pulled toward the craft. And if they held on to that tree or fence or whatever long enough, the UFO would simply leave, with few exceptions.
Damn.
Even through all the attacks and fear and everything else, as far as we know, the aliens very rarely actually succeeded in abducting a person in this manner.
Which is why Jacques Vallée points to what was the agenda of either the occupants of these objects or the phenomenon just as it existed. So, because you think if they could abduct you very easily, and if they wanted to abduct you very easily, wouldn't they just do it? But now what we're going to see is that maybe there's something else to it. Maybe it was an accidental, or maybe it was a catch and release.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe these aliens are too lazy. You put up a fight and they don't want to deal with it. And there you go. You're out of there.
Mm-hmm. And while one might think this was mass hysteria, sleep paralysis, or just simple bad dreams, these encounters all occurred outside, usually while the victims were traveling on foot. And in a few cases, it happened to multiple people at once.
These are sightings with many witnesses. These are events that where, because they are working close-knit family groups, they're working in they're literally working in groups. They're seeing all these things together en masse for months. For months, they're seeing this shit to the point where everybody's just staying inside.
Wow, I'm just going to say, I caramba. I caramba on that.
No, you have to do it very seriously. If you really want to have true gravitas, you have to go, I caramba.
Ooh, that sounds good. Deal is made.
Furthermore, in just one cluster of attempted abductions in the late 70s, 35 people were hospitalized with dizziness, headaches, total fatigue, insane diarrhea and vomiting, and in many cases, burns that resembled radioactivity or microwave exposure in the areas where the lasso light touched the skin.
That must be a rough day for your nurse when they're like, so what are the patients suffering from today? Insane diarrhea.
It is somehow, it's coming out of their hips.
What in the world?
But these nurses were also told explicitly, because we're going to see the Brazilian government has rolled into town while these flaps are taking place, and they are being told, they're not only dealing with all of these mysterious syndromes and people coming in with radioactivity burns, they are also being told by a dude in camouflage being like, don't tell them fucking anything that's happening.
Damn.
And so they have to, all of these people are like, what's wrong with me? What is happening to me? And they're all like, clouds are mad that you didn't go to church.
By the way, every time you guys say the word flaps, I feel like you're body shaming me. So maybe we could do a different word.
No, that is the technical term. When I imagine a group of UFOs, I always imagine a ufologist's breast.
And in addition to all that, the Brazilian government took it seriously enough where it fully admitted that UFOs were indeed real in 1986, years after the initial investigation, when further evidence presented itself.
Dude, this shit is legit. As soon as you pop the lid off of this story, you will see that the Brazilian government has put a fuck ton of time, energy, and money into the quote-unquote UFO problem.
But they could have worked on the economy a little bit.
No, they did something fun with their energy. Instead of
we need roads, we need highways.
They instead decided to crack this nut. And I think that that's my biggest takeaway from this entire story is just like, holy shit, they put real fucking resources into this.
Yeah.
These are the most credible UFO stories that I've personally ever been involved with.
All right.
And by personally involved, I mean sat in my underwear watching YouTube documentaries in Portuguese, trying to understand the gestalt of what they're saying by how their eyebrows are bouncing up and down.
You nailed it.
But with all this together, it doesn't necessarily mean that aliens were behind it all.
Yeah,
what?
Dude. Yeah,
all dude. We know is that something sinister was going on in the 70s in and around the small town of Colares, near the delta of the Amazon River in northeastern Brazil.
Don't even fucking think of saying the word alien. Around Jacques Vallée.
Really? Why not?
He will kick you in your pubic bone with his tiny French like little shoes.
Really?
His heeled boot. He will step upon your big, gigantic, swollen, clot-filled toe with his pointy, pointy leathers.
Well, then what's the fun? If it's just a UFO, I mean, I think you gotta have aliens in there.
No, it's just a little bit more spicy than an alien. Maybe the so-called extraterrestrial hypothesis has been wrong altogether. And maybe, just maybe, there's some form of interdimensional intelligence that exists right on top of us. And they don't need to come from Alpha Centauri. They don't need to come through a wormhole. They don't need to come from the supposed binary star system that we're a part of, Marcus. You too, buddy. That's a part of the reason why what's going on right now is that we're a part of the false sun system. There's a true sun system. Look up binary star system that we're in. You could really get some interesting literature.
That's great. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was a paragraph of what not to say on a first date.
Fuck these people.
If you say anything like that, you'll never find love.
You can't handle me. But I really hit a volume I didn't mean to. But Jacques Vallée says explicitly, again, that's what I like about Jacques Vallée, is that he is not trying to make this make literal sense. He's taking the evidence empirically and saying, these are the things that people are seeing. Does that necessarily sound like a plane or a ship? No. So instead of saying, it's not real, then maybe we need to think about if there's so much, what seems to be first person evidence and experience of these situations, that there's something to the bottom of it that may not just be a nuts and bolts craft. Maybe it's coming halfway from our own minds.
Strangely enough, I can see you gaining weight. Isn't that weird?
But let's suppose for a second that they were UFOs.
Okay.
And taking it further, let's suppose that the UFOs were, if not malevolent, then they were at the very least disrespectful enough towards humans that they treated us with no more care than a child does when they pick the legs off a cockroach.
Yeah, and I ain't gonna be disrespected for most space refrigerators. I'm a part of the LG family. All right, if you go into my
the
kitchen
LG
and you see
family?
Me,
is it a T-Mobile commercial?
Me and LG Farms, wherever they grow the refrigerators.
Ah, yes, refrigerator trees.
I refuse to believe that my refrigerator's slowly planning on zapping my wife's body because they attack breasts quite a bit.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
That's actually really true. And it's like, leave the breasts alone, aliens.
No kidding.
And if we suppose that they were UFOs, that raises questions. Why, for example, did all of this only happen in Brazil? Which, as far as we know, is the only instance of a cluster of UFO attacks of this sort. This has never happened anywhere else before or since.
Is it possible that the culture of Brazil is a little bit chatty and that they said, oh my god, the refrigerator showed up and the UFO showed up and they're like, we really hit ourselves a pocket full of people that like to talk, and so we gotta go to like Texarkana. We gotta go somewhere where people are a little bit more humble and mum.
Did you read that Adele book Untamed this weekend? Are you untamed?
Does she have a new book?
She didn't write it. She just fucking talked about
Adele.
It.
I love Adele. And leave her alone.
Fell off.
Oh my God. Everyone needs to leave Adele alone. She's very happy and healthy, and leave her alone.
Thank you,
Jeez.
Kissel.
People are all judgmental all the time.
But then you're kind of heading into John Tenney world when we talk
on
to...
On purpose, I did that.
Weirdly, you did. John Tenney is a paranormal researcher that we have worked with. We did an interview with him for the Patreon series for last podcast, and he is great. He's a part of the Hellier series.
So nice.
Go follow him on Twitter. He's a good follow. But he talks about what if the... We don't know what the agenda of whatever that intelligence is.
Right.
Maybe there is a mechanism within whatever that is, whether they come from another planet or they are interdimensional or they come from inside our planet, that are they conscious of not wanting to be seen or known? And is that why it's so difficult to get a proper picture of them? Because even in this case, they had cameras. The Brazilian government is going to install an entire surveillance system for 3 months and only get... They see shit, but they're only getting certain pictures. And then we wonder, why are they such shapeshifters? Like, what is it about, like, they appearing like this in Brazil and not... that way all around the rest of the world? And what is their purpose?
Yeah, and furthermore, like, you know, different areas of the world seem to have different flavors of UFO experiences. Like, if you remember, like, up here in the northeastern United States, like, a lot of the UFO encounters up here, they're gigantic triangular crafts. The Hudson Valley sightings and all that.
And the Phoenix Lights are very akin to it. The ideas of, like, seeing a thing that looks like a giant cloud, and all of a sudden you realize it has, like, a structure, and then there are, like, solid lights in it.
And if you go over to Africa, then the UFO encounters are a lot more shamanistic, a lot more psychedelic. It's something different entirely.
Cool. If you want to have a fun afternoon and again make you less accessible as a human being,
okay,
fucking spark the longest leaf that you can fold into your lip and watch Credo Mutwa talk with David Icke for 6 hours.
If you want to get into that's good for your brain.
I didn't say good.
Okay.
I said it's a challenge to see if you can fit that much truth
really
into your mind. But Credo Mutwa is, we covered a story of his when we did the sexual liaisons with the alien. He has a lot more where that came from.
Oh my goodness.
But if you're going to be fun with it, and I say let's be fun with it.
Let's be fun with it, yes.
It's a possibility that different alien species may have dominion over different parts of the Earth. And it might just be that Brazil, and quite possibly the whole of South America, when you take their fucking cryptid experiences into account, could be that that area was given over to some of the more aggressive B-teamers of the alien experimentation community.
Man, you're just about to get chupa chupa'd, buddy. You call them a B-teamer? Look at the tech they're slinging down. I actually wonder if we'd even say this is B-teamers. I wonder if this is more like a fucking version of the Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad's kind of the B team, isn't it?
No!
The Justice League is the A team.
Oh, you both. You men.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is just my interpretation from what I've read about the Kolaris sightings and the abductions and all that. It seems like they kind of don't know what the fuck they're doing.
It does sound like it's a bunch of like when I got knockout gamed. Or now that Rick Moranis got knockout game.
Oh, Jesus, that was very Christ. Sad in the Upper East Side. Leave Rick Moranis. This is the Leave Him Alone episode. Leave Rick Moranis alone.
But that idea of maybe they're young, dumb, full of cum, and these Chupa Chupas are just trying to blow off steam.
Okay.
Or it's like a training exercise. Or it almost sometimes it feels like they like bought a new tool, like a new tractor beam, and they traveled all the way from fucking Alpha Centauri, and they got to Earth, and they didn't test the fucking tractor beam before they left. And then when they got to Earth, they fucking discovered that it doesn't work very well.
Oh, yeah, it's like the way we're dispersing all the protesters now with our new toys.
That's what they learned from the U.S. government, maybe. It's being like, well, if you're going to pump all this money in R&D, we have to use it at some point.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But even if it wasn't aliens, whatever it was made the people of Kolaris believe that something was after them. They were so frightened that many of the women and children left town, and the men lit bonfires at night and shot off fireworks in an attempt to keep the ships away.
This really immobilized this part of Brazil. Because this was a hardworking, it was a working class part of the country. Uh-huh. These are fishermen. These are fishermen towns. These are like
fishermen and farmers.
And they literally couldn't do their jobs. They were starving. It got to the point where they couldn't figure out. They were running out of food. They were running out of money. And the whole city was just shut down because they were so terrified of this phenomenon. To me, that rings of like, I know everyone wants to say group hallucination.
Mass hysteria.
But again, who benefits from this, if you're literally running out of food to eat?
Or could it be the men were sick of the children and their wives, and they made up a story so they would be forced to evacuate?
Ah.
It must have been one fun. They must have had the fun first weekend.
Yeah, the first weekend probably was pretty fun, but all that shit went away because they discovered the more noise they made, the closer the craft came.
Oh, no!
As if the craft was either curious or was daring the men of Kolaris to take the conflict to the next level.
You have to play the silent game even when your friend perhaps get a little roundy, a little randy, and he's trying to blow you.
What? You tell me, when you and your fishermen are your friend.
I don't know what
all these men sent their fucking women, the wives and children
sex
away
with
so
each
they
other.
Could have...
yes. Yeah, like be Brokeback Mountain out in the canoes of Brazil.
Farmers are very lonely and fishermen are very lonely. They just hang out with fish all the days.
But you know, Marcus knows ranchers. They don't have sex with the other men. They have sex with the animals.
Yeah, well.
Yep, that's what they do. They don't masturbate either. They just have sex with the animals. Somehow that's better.
It's not better.
It's not.
But before we get too deep into the story, let's acknowledge our main source for this episode. Today, we've got UFO Danger Zone, Terror and Death in Brazil by Bob Pratt.
Fly away to the danger zone.
It's a great name for a book,
I have to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Bob Pratt, previous to this, was a journalist at a daily newspaper in Virginia, but he quit because he wasn't allowed to publish the stack of UFO, paranormal, and Bigfoot stories he had at the ready.
Honestly, that newspaper editor needs to be fired.
Yeah,
newspapers are in dire need of readers. Put butts in seats. Just publish the damn UFO stuff.
Yeah. And since Brazil only had a few hundred active UFO investigators in a country of over 200 million, Bob decided to travel down to South America to see what he could see in Brazil. And this is what Bob saw.
Also, Bob had a trunk full of tassels and an ass that just wouldn't quit.
Really?
And so he was built for Brazil. And he knew he was just wasting his time and energy in Virginia.
Absolutely.
Where no one wanted to see him swivel and nobody cared about Carnival.
Not a diss, but it's a flat butt country. Virginians, great people, but it is a flat tush place.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to get a pile of big butt letters.
No, well, that's... That's
also
possible.
This is not required reading for this subject, but I'm going to say, as a student, if you are consider yourself even remotely a student of UFOs, you should be reading Jacques Vallée's Confrontations, which is where this story first sort of was broke, and Bob Pratt was inspired by Jacques Vallée and kind of took the ball and ran with it. But Jacques Vallée is my favorite writer. As I've said for years now.
Yes, you have.
But it's because of his attitude towards the subject.
And it's also because you guys can share shoes.
Little feet. You have little feet.
Yeah, I do wish I could fit in his Frenchman feet. He's also he's a millionaire.
Is he really?
He's a futurist, and he's deep into the world of technology and hedge fund shit now. It's very, very interesting. Huh. He's recently getting back to UFOs now that I think Tom DeLonge's paying him.
Really?
He's kind of on the TTSA train. So some people are now, like, there's like a, need a clamp bank of junk valet kind of movement. But it's like, read Confrontations and then see if your clapping is warranted. Get me mad.
Okay. Wound yourself up and got yourself mad, buddy.
Now, we don't know exactly who the first victim of the 1970s Brazilian UFO flap was, but we do know that these types of UFOs began showing up in Brazil in 1971 when José de Souza, a farmer in Puxinana, was chased by a vaporous ball of light 10 meters in diameter as he was walking home from work.
I'm going to say this also right now. The three of us, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say we could not be farther from Portuguese.
Yeah.
And I want to say Marcus has some experience with Spanish.
Yeah, I do.
But it's different than Portuguese.
It's much, yes. Spanish and Portuguese are two very different languages. I mean,
they're completely different languages.
They're like American.
They're similar, but yeah.
Yes. I took 6 years of Spanish in high school. I mean, not in high school, from high school when I take
Did
it.
Did you go to this high school for 6 years?
Yeah, it was a medical school for children.
Really?
Yeah. I was doing autopsies at the age of 16 years old.
Wow. I think that's the plot of Doogie Howser, MD.
It is. Yeah. So we are going to maybe, I'm going to say, maybe trample on the Portuguese language, unfortunately.
Yeah. I barely had time to write this. Did not have time to learn Portuguese.
That's fine. I think it's just great. It's like Canadian versus American. It's kind of like Spanish, but it's Portuguese. So
and
here we go.
English and German, I think.
English and German.
Yeah, it's two different languages. In Canada, they speak English.
Oh.
So we actually speak the same language. They just say a boot, and they're passive aggressive.
You can't apologize if you speak real English.
But José de Souza, at the time, no one believed him. He ran all the way home to his mother that night and immediately told her what happened. But she dismissed the whole story, saying that José had just seen a ghost, because men who walk around at night always meet up with ghosts.
I do love that his mother would be like, "You're crazy, you just saw a ghost.
Hey.
And if you tell me you saw a UFO one more time, I'm gonna get you. We know you're drinking again, okay?
Aliens, that is far-fetched. You, my friend, had a dinner with a phantasma."
Oh, cool.
Well, the next sighting we know of came 5 years later near the southern town of Jaboticatubas, in what is known as the Valley of Old Women.
Oh, get me there.
My God.
There's nothing better than MILF Canyon.
Yes, indeed.
There, a 30-year-old man named Cecilio was walking at night with some elderly neighbors when a UFO appeared.
Come to the sausage restaurant, elderly neighbors. Come.
Yes,
very excited for sausage at night. Very, very excited. See, I think I say see.
Perfect. Nailed it.
They all started running.
Run to the sausages. Sausages will be drying soon. I caramba. What is that in the sky?
Just flawless. Flawless, Henry.
But surprisingly, Cecilio's elderly companions left him behind when his sandal broke. And he couldn't catch up because it had broken on a patch of sharp stones.
Oh,
that's why you
man.
Only have to be faster than your buddy.
Yes, indeed.
Cecilio said that when the UFO caught up to him, it looked like an open umbrella, and it hovered above, surrounded by the smell of sulfur.
Hmm.
Finally, when it flew away, Cecilio began vomiting.
This is like Marcus's, I want to say, day camp experience, where you just got drive-by farted on.
Oh, that was very mean-spirited. The very mean kids, very mean-spirited.
I still kind of laugh thinking about it, but
well, it was kind of fun.
It was more than day camp. It was just elementary school, the entirety of it. Yeah,
kids do the fart.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun summer thing.
It was your reality.
Indeed. Yeah,
for like a year,
fart kid.
But Cecilio was. We're going to see the UFOs farting on people and making them throw up is actually a very common trope in the Brazilian UFO flap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Cecilio eventually made it home, and he stopped to vomit multiple times along the way, but he couldn't stop. And once he got home, the uncontrollable vomiting continued, and he kept vomiting until he just fucking died.
What?
Yep.
He died from vomiting too much. That's a rock star's death, though. That's kind of fun. That happens outside the Roxy.
No, you have to have been a rock star.
Well, he had the rock star death. I'm not saying he was a rock star.
He was going to dinner with his old friends, elderly people.
In Valley of the Old Women.
Oh, my God.
The only person
is Iggy Pop. What do you want me to do about it?
The only person who's a rock star in the same exact situation as Sammy Hagar.
Yes, of course.
About a month later, again in the Valley of the Old Women, there was what seemed to be the first known attempted abduction. On that night, Hermelindo da Silva was walking home when a UFO about 10 feet in diameter appeared right above him. His trusty dog immediately abandoned him.
What?
But Hermelindo wasn't going without a fight. Georgie would run away immediately.
Yeah,
Georgie
Wendy
would
die.
That is not good at all. Then, honestly, the dog, I mean, well... Can't punish it too much, but it's not getting treats that night. Definitely not.
Well, Hermelindo wasn't going without a fight. He picked up a pole and thrust it toward the UFO, but the UFO gave him a zap.
Oh,
woo!
Then four steel cables with hooks dropped down from the small craft with the obvious intent to drag Hermelindo back into the UFO.
And then he looked up and he saw that it was fucking Pinhead.
Pinhead!
It's a fucking Cenobite mobile. That is cool as hell.
By the way, I am here for whatever this resurgence is of Clive Barker's work. They're making Nightbreed again. Pinhead's coming back. Hellraiser's coming back. There's going to be a TV series.
I'm here for it. Legitimately, I think that he got the rights back. The rights reverted to Clive Barker, and now he's just decided to make money on it again.
Please, yes. God.
Yep.
I love that. Love Hellraiser.
But Hermelindo kept fighting, and during his resistance, a creature about 4 feet tall slid down one of the cables like a tiny little action hero to try and subdue Hermelindo by hand.
You cannot kill me, doll man. You cannot kill me. I have strength of pole. I am the strongest man in the Valley of the Old Women.
He's like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible and probably the exact same size, and he's just coming down there.
But now you think about Tom Cruise's size and think about how brave he is.
He's not that. Well, I do like that he does his own stunts. I know. I actually do like that he does his own stunts.
Now, Hermelindo wasn't taking any of this shit, but he couldn't get a grip on the creature because the creature was wearing this smooth metal suit. He was very slippery.
Hi, I am the metal pill. I cannot get me. They call me Space Soapman.
Oh, Space Soapman. No kidding. Don't drop you.
But being much larger than the alien, Hermelindo bear hugged it and threw it to the ground.
It's like when Hulk Hogan wrestled Andre the Giant in what some would call a super boring match, but others would call it super, super boring.
But throwing the creature to the ground ended up being a grave mistake.
Uh-oh.
Because this enabled the creature to slip a hook around Hermelindo's left ankle.
Whoa!
Before it scurried back up the steel cable to the safety of the craft.
Got the fish. Got the fish. Pull him into the boat.
Oh, no!
Once the creature was back with its crew, the cable began retracting, pulling Hermelindo up into the sky toward a large black hole open at the bottom of the craft. But even as the craft was pulling him back up, it was also flying away, and it happened to fly in the direction of Hermelindo's home as he screamed for help, dangling from a UFO.
Help!
Can you drop me off here, please?
This is the worst Uber I've ever been on.
Damn.
Now, all this screaming woke up Hermelindo's brother-in-law, who woke up just in time to see Hermelindo knock the cable loose from his ankle and fall 20 feet to the ground right into the blades of a big yucca plant.
Oh, that hurts. Oh, that's gotta hurt like a motherfucker.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And after that, the UFO chalked up the encounter as a loss and flew away into the night sky. And other than the cuts and scratches from falling into a yucca plant from 20 feet up, Hermelindo was shaken but unharmed.
Okay. Can I say that there is, in my mind, we'll start with the Jacques Vallée threading in. The way it attacked him is not unlike the way a fisherman gets a fish.
That's what I was thinking.
If he was a fisherman by trade, which quite a bit of these people were, my question is that in some way, shape, or form, is it like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? Does something come from the very back of your subconscious And like, it's a thought that you have because you wake up every day and you think, how many fish am I going to get today? I can't wait to have buckets and buckets and buckets of slippery fish. No, I think it's just more of a default thought. And then all of a sudden, now he, in fact, himself is getting fished.
That's why whenever I get abducted by UFOs, it's a little delivery outside of my door and it says McDonald's on it. And I say, ooh, yes. And then I put my hand in it and it sucks me through. And now I'm the Big Mac.
God, you'd be a big old Mac.
Yes, indeed.
Luis Fernandez Barroso was not as lucky as Hermelindo.
Oh, no.
In what seems like the first instance of light beam technology, which is obviously a step up from the hook method, Luis was unfortunate enough to have an encounter as he was walking home one night with his donkey.
Isn't it fun to have the social distanced dinner out, Bruto? Isn't it fun how we get to sit and have a nice time together? Yes, yes, lick your penis. It is covered in ticks, huh?
Oh, wash your donkey's dick, please.
I love
what's wrong
to
with
walk
you?
With you, Bruto.
My God.
About 2 hours before daylight, Luis said a large object came out of the sky, hovered above him, and blasted both him and his donkey with a hot light that caused both of them to pass out cold.
Oh,
this is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he awoke, he was nauseous. He had uncontrollable vomiting and insane diarrhea. He had headaches, and no doctor was able to figure out what was wrong. After 3 months, his hair turned white, and after 6, he lost his mental faculties and spent the remaining 17 years of his life sitting in a chair doing nothing but staring straight ahead.
Honestly, that is the dream. That is the ultimate goal. That's what Puffin does. That's all my dog Puffin does.
I think Puffin's blind.
He's happy.
Back to the hooks for a second. They did try it one more time before switching solely to the light lasso. Around the same time as Hermelindo's encounter, an elderly man named Antonio Amador de Lima had a similar encounter when a UFO descended and hooked him on the back of his shirt.
It's like what they used to do to nerds.
Yeah.
When the hook pulled him up into the air toward the UFO, Antonio was able to get a look inside, and he saw 3 people, strange and ugly, with short black hair and yellow arms. Said they didn't look Brazilian at all.
Huh.
But Antonio said that once they saw him, they told him, quote,
"Here is a good old man we can take with us to our Earth."
After 15 minutes, though, the shirt could no longer support Antonio's weight, and the hole made by the hook ripped.
Oh, whoa, my good shirt! It's my burrow shirt!
Horrible!
Antonio fell back to the ground, so the UFO, again, just spun a few times and flew away.
These UFOs do not have tenacity.
No,
you
gotta, none whatsoever.
Try again. I mean, it can't be that difficult to get him back up. Also, hook the flesh. Don't hook the shirt.
I wonder, because they are going, all of these are going to escalate. We're going to see the in their own serial killer fashion, begin to try things out, it seems like, playfully, and eventually refine the way they quote-unquote attack.
Okay.
Well, it's like I said earlier, like it's playful in the way that like a 6-year-old kid is playful in ripping apart a bug. Like he doesn't exactly know what he's doing, not really. He doesn't see the bug as a sentient being, just like these creatures or whatever's in there may not see humans as equal beings or not even close to being sentient.
You've mentioned this a few times about 6-year-olds tearing apart bugs. Now, I don't remember doing that when I was 6. But were you a big bug tearer aparter, Marcus?
It is a very common thing for children to do. You know, but you know, you burning the bugs on the sidewalk with the magnifying glass, all that shit.
What I did was, I remember we used to have a big ant colony in a tree, and every once in a while there would be this big ant colony, and I just would feel the power of, I would get the hose. No. I was always like, I like to poop on the inside. And also when I was potty training, my parents said that whenever I had to poop in the diaper, I go hide behind the lamp. I literally go hide behind a lamp and sit and just stare from behind the lamp and poop.
You did learn shame at a young age.
Really did. Thank you, Catholicism. But I would go like an angry god with my hose and just commit mass ant genocide.
We had a hornet's nest. Now we're really talking bugs here, huh? We had a hornet's nest right underneath our front step, and I did raid that a little bit and put some glue in there and stuff. So I get what you're saying there.
You're telling me you never pissed on an anthill.
Oh, of course I did. I did everything on it. Yeah, no, naturally, on accident, on purpose. I mean,
but normally, but I was more fascinated with ants when they would like get in our above ground pool. Not to be tell you how good we had it in Queens.
Wow, you're in above ground.
But yeah. The idea of like, I like to watch them like kind of walk around on my hand, like pick up a little ant and kind of see it walk around. I didn't always try to torture it.
That's very nice, Henry. Yeah.
Well, back to Antonio. Like many people who had a UFO encounter in Brazil, he never again went outside after dark for the rest of his life.
Jeez.
Honestly, if a hook came out of the sky,
yeah,
just randomly, that is always the stuff that kind of tickles the balls of my mind,
mm-hmm.
is these concepts of someone who is so unbelievably traumatized by what happened to them. I watched a documentary on abductees on Amazon that was like old school. It was, I forgot what the hell it was called, but it was with Bud Hopkins, the original like researcher of abductees, and him talking to these people whose lives were shattered by their experiences. And the ones that realized what happened, you kind of see this like the stripes of trauma of being treated as if, I mean, again, we're used to a certain amount of respect on planet Earth as humans.
Is that right?
Yeah, we are
assumed. Well, at least from things that aren't human.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
humans,
okay.
We are used to being the top of the food chain.
I don't know. Have you ever heard a platypus diss us? You should see what they're saying.
But as imagine you're walking along and you have a certain set of rules of reality does not include hooks coming from a UFO from the sky and attempting to bait me.
Like, yeah.
As
I mean,
soon
it's not on everybody's bingo sheet for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you,
true.
As soon as you get through, once that happens to you, I don't think you're ever the same.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of it. Some people never went outside again for the rest of their lives. Some people, it took them months. Other people, like there was one guy who would go outside afterwards, but refused to smoke outside at night ever again because he believed that the cherry from a cigarette was what attracted the aliens in the first place. So it's just a scrambling of rationale.
I think that's what would attract the Chupa Parks, which is the Chupacabra Marcus Parks.
Got a light.
But Antonio aged quickly after his encounter and spent the last 5 years of his life lying in a hammock inside, hiding from the rest of the world.
Maybe I am just getting too used to quarantine. But isn't that's kind of nice. You got a pina colada? As long as he's having fun.
It's not down there like hammocks is just, it's, you would rather have a bed. People just sleep in hammocks.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah, it is not a luxury. It is a
that's how they live.
Down. Yeah, that's how they live.
Okay, I don't like the hammock. Actually.
I don't like hammocks. Very uncomfortable. We're anti-hammock. I hate hammocks.
There is, however, one interesting contradiction in Antonio's story. While he later told people that the aliens had called him a quote good old man, his daughter remembers him telling her something entirely different.
Uh-oh.
When it first happened, she said that he told her that the aliens had deemed him to be too old and of no use to them, and that's why they left him. Although,
what?
I'm not sure what the significance of this contradiction is.
You don't think I can still make the milk? I'll make the milk right now.
Well, that's... Is that Ronald Reagan?
Kind of.
But we'll see. That's what's interesting about this phenomena versus the U.S. phenomena. Because this phenomena in Brazil has little of the cum draining that you see in the U.S. version of abductions. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., it's way more about what we were talking about this when on our phone call about this. It's way more about whatever the quote-unquote hybrid program is.
Yeah, reproductive rights that were not reproductive rights, just reproductive.
Wow. Let's bring this up, and this is why we're here to talk. Let's just take a strong right turn. Let's talk SCOTUS. Yeah.
Reproduction. That's what a lot of the UFOs in America, North America in general, are concerned with.
I see.
These Brazilian UFOs seem to be straight up out literally for blood. Like they want our blood.
Weird.
Now, it's at this point in the story that things start to get a little more dangerous for the people of Brazil. But according to Jacques Vallée, there was one UFO encounter in Brazil back in the 40s that resulted in a grisly death.
I'm going to read you a selection from Jacques Vallée's Confrontations.
Okay, well, this is a great presentation. You're in sixth grade. You think this is safe for the class?
Everyone must know what I know, teacher.
The year was 1946, and two men, Joao Prestes Filho and his friend Salvador dos Santos, were returning from a fishing trip near the Brazilian village of Accra Quaguama.
Perfect. As they reached a village where they lived, they bade one another farewell and went their separate ways. The time was 7 p.m. An hour later, Prestice showed up at his sister's home with a strange story. A beam of light had hit him as he was reaching his front door. It stunned and blinded him. He fell to the ground without losing consciousness. He managed to get up and make his way to her house. The same evening, Prestice's condition deteriorated rapidly. Witnesses said that his flesh literally detached itself from his bones. Ugh. It was as if he had been boiled in hot water for a long time, so that his skin and the underlying tissue fell off. Woo. Prestice was not in pain, but he was understandably in an increasing state of terror. Mm-hmm. Soon he was unable to speak. The villagers placed him in a cart, intending to take him to the hospital, but he died en route, about 6 hours after being hit by the beam of light. He remained conscious until the end.
Oh, mama!
When his body was brought back, his flesh had fallen off to the point where the corpse looked decomposed.
Oh, wow, put that in a barbecue cook-off. My God. Falls yeah. off the bone.
Sloughing off.
Just sloughing off.
Nasty. Okay.
Now, even though there were plenty of UFO sightings in the time leading up, it was in 1977 that the Brazilian UFO flap truly began.
Oh, are you gonna? Why are you taking your shirt off again? It's just for Marcus and I. It's all audio.
That's the sound. That's the sound of my making my little notes.
Beautiful, Henry. Thank you.
In July of 1977, a man named Alfredo Marquis Suarez was walking home at night from a neighbor's house when a burning sensation struck his left leg from behind.
There's a burning in my rectum.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Classic yep. episode 68.
Yes, indeed. A rector dang near got her a fine position at a pizza place.
When Alfredo looked back, he saw a beam of light, yellowish white, shining on his skin. Whatever it was, it grabbed hold and began pulling Alfredo toward the sky. So Alfredo grabbed a wooden fence and held on as the force continued to pull. Finally, it let go, and Alfredo tried running under a cashew tree, but the leg that had been pulled by the beam was numb, so he just started running around in circles instead. He had no fucking choice. He was feeling both hot and cold at the same time, and he was shaking with sickness.
This is such an example of a neighbor, like, watching out the window, like, watching a man be lifted up by a beam of light, holding onto a fence, and then, like, running in a circle with, like, doing the Ellen dance. Like, do you remember from
I
Seinfeld?
Love that, yeah.
And he's just sitting there being like, I guess Sober October is over.
It's time for Spinny September.
Well, eventually, the light gave up, grew dim, and disappeared. When Alfredo got home, his leg was black and burned. It blistered and became infected. And for 2 more days, Alfredo had diarrhea. And It took 3 months for his injured leg to be useful again.
Damn, the first day must have been fun, though, with the diarrhea. The first day is never as bad until you get dehydrated, and then it's very dangerous.
We've talked about this many times. More times than we've talked about anything else that is remotely useful on the show.
Yes, indeed.
And if the Brazilian UFO light beam attacks would have ended there, we probably would have never heard Alfredo's story. But it kept happening again and again and again. And 3 months later, 40 other people in the area experienced similar attacks. And they went to the hospital to get treated for this.
What did they say? Any information on the hospital? Like, were the nurses like, we've seen this before?
Well, there is a lot of evidence that shows that people went in for what is just essentially radiation burns. They said that they would not hurt necessarily on the outside. They would just be raw, and essentially the skin looked like it was the way to describe it, like microwaved, and sometimes it'd be covered with like little bumps, hard bumps that look like bug bites, and they couldn't quite determine what the hell it was.
Yeah, and people were coming in, and like after the first, there was one doctor that treated a lot of these people and said that when the first few people were coming in, they were saying like, okay, this is mass hysteria, haha, like who knows what the fuck this is, these people are all crazy or something.
Right.
But then once it got to be like 10, 20, 30 people, that's when they really started paying attention and asking what was really going on here. And the doctor said that she herself saw UFOs on multiple occasions because it got to be such a normal thing that a night wouldn't go by without seeing someone seeing a UFO.
Okay.
But perhaps the most terrifying encounter came on Crab Island.
Scary.
Around the time of the UFO attack on Alfredo, four men headed out to Crab Island off the coast of Brazil to cut down trees for construction materials. They traveled to the island by boat and were planning to leave around midnight when the tide came in and the men decided to stay until morning. All four fell asleep, but only three woke up to sheer horror. The first man, Oleriano, had a burned butt. And yet his clothes were completely intact.
He got zapped by a laser and went through the pant.
And that isn't so bad, considering everyone else's condition. A companion named Firminio was burned so badly all over his body that, again, his skin was sloughing off in chunks.
Yikes.
But the third was by far the worst. Even though he had only superficial burns, from what I can tell from the account, Jose Souza, 22 and otherwise healthy, was stone dead. Although no autopsy was performed, his death certificate listed cerebral vascular accident caused by emotional shock as the cause of death. In other words, Jose Souza was scared to death.
Fuck yeah, dude. I mean, I don't mean to say it because it's death, but, you know.
That's crazy.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. Fucking aliens fucking getting some on the right, man. Scorecard, fucking aliens 4, human 0 that time.
You and also, you can die of a broken heart. I saw that on the internet where it's true. The blood vessels and stuff like that, they can kill you.
Are you just looking up the logic behind country music lyrics late in the night?
Well, as far as the survivors of Crab Island went, Firminio was in a coma for a week, and his left arm was so badly burned he lost complete use of the appendage, while Oleriano seemed to have gotten away with just a burned butt.
My goodness gracious. But the other guy had nothing.
The other guy had nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah. Okay.
He just wanted it too much.
He wanted it too much indeed.
As far as what the burns looked like, a doctor said the injuries were consistent with a lightning strike, but that was an impossibility. For it to be lightning, the bolt would have had to hit the sand, bounce back up, then travel sideways inside the boat, hitting three men at the same time while also managing to set nothing on fire.
And then that same lightning bolt would jump back in time to Dallas, November 1963.
Do the layoff. Do the layoff.
And furthermore, there was one of them, Apolinario, who wasn't burned.
Rolls off the tongue.
Apolinario.
Apolinario.
You just have to say it a few times. Apolinario.
Apolinario.
Yeah. But he wasn't burned at all. Instead, his problem was long term. His health failed, and after a year, the left side of his body just stopped working, and he never recovered. What's insane, though, is that 9 years later, it happened again in the same place.
Same place.
What?
Can you say if your left side of your body just stops working, can you just say it's retired?
Yeah, I think you can.
I think
yes,
so,
of course.
Yeah. Involuntary retirement.
I need a vacation for my vacation. You had a stroke.
Four men sailed to Crab Island for wood 9 years after the first incident. And again, three were injured with burns, while the fourth died with nary a mark on his body other than a bit of blood coming out of his mouth.
Ooh.
And that's just from flossing.
Yes, indeed.
In other words, there was some weird shit going on down in Brazil, and it wasn't only happening to the men. In 1979, a woman named Rosalito was pulled up by the light, but was able to resist by grabbing onto a pole and screaming for her husband until the UFO gave up.
And there was a lot of tales of women being zapped by beams on their breasts. And I mean this.
You've been talking a lot about this.
This is true, is that they were discovering that these women were having like bite marks and burn marks on the tissue of their breasts.
So they're in Brazil. Of course, they're going after the butts and the boobs. They want the meat. They want perhaps is that, I mean, honestly, is that what they're going after?
Ask Marcus.
I am asking Marcus. I'm definitely not asking you because you're just going to get it horned up over there.
Well, the guy with the burned butt, as far as I know, that's the only butt burn that we got. And okay. If we're going for what Brazil's known for, we're definitely going for they're known more for butts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
we all know that.
Seen some of the literature.
Well, actually, the aliens or whatever they were sort of seemed like they just weren't very good at whatever it is they were trying to do. In the town of Mocambo, a 14-year-old boy named Giulianetti saw a glowing object and felt himself being pulled up. But instead of running, Giulianetti just stood there, not grabbing onto anything.
Huh.
And he never left the ground. He said the pulling was intermittent, not steady, as if the aliens were just trying to figure out how to properly use the beam.
They were just practicing on these people.
Yeah, they were just giving them little tugs.
My goodness.
Well, nothing I like better than a tiny little space tug.
Yes, indeed.
But eventually, the UFOs did figure it out. And in March of 1978, Luis Carlos Serra was taken up through the beam and was gone for 3 entire days and came back with hardly any memory of what had happened. All anyone knew was that he'd been found on a jungle path in terrible condition, unable to speak or move. And most bizarrely, he was completely bald where before he'd had long hair.
The long hair was the lie.
Aww.
It was a wig.
But think of, this is a very
That's
scary,
what you think? Like the main villain from Almost Heroes?
Well, this is him like trying to figure out how to transition away from the wigs. Like maybe he's starting to get like a rash from the lace front, so he has to like figure out a way to like get out of this whole scenario.
I'm
so
just
he
happy.
Just he disappears for a couple days, says he was abducted, shows back up, like Ace Ventura when nature calls, coming out of the rhino in a path.
You just have to do it one day, like John Travolta. Like, he just did it.
He just
did
it.
And he looks great bald. We all knew, John.
We all knew. But this kid's hair hadn't been shaved off. By a doctor's estimation, it had been burned to the root.
Ooh.
Because the tops of his ears were slightly singed as well.
Ooh.
But the cruelest thing done to Luis involved his teeth. 4 of his teeth had been pulled out, while others had been broken.
Oof.
And they hadn't done a very good job either. While one tooth was pulled out completely, the other 3 missing teeth had left behind the roots.
I can't do teeth stuff. Still don't like it. No matter how many times I've seen horror films where they pull out the teeth, I still just knock. I can do eye stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to not be able to do any eye stuff or nail stuff.
Teeth I'm fine with eye stuff.
I like eye stuff.
When Luis finally recovered, he said he'd been picking guava fruit in the jungle when he heard something that sounded like a car horn, followed by a bright light above the palms.
Honk, honk.
That's cute, though. That's fun.
Yeah.
Apparently, the UFO inhabitants had finally figured out how to use the tractor beam, and they laid Luis flat on his back before pulling him up to the craft. Luis said it was a classic flying saucer, complete with a dome on top. And once he was inside the dome, he said he saw 3 creatures about 3 feet tall who spoke very loudly and very deeply in a language he didn't recognize.
Please sit down. Do you want pretzels? This is my friend Frank. You seem to have a problem understanding me. Do you need a seltzer? Do you want to sit and play co-op games with me and my friend? We have Smash Brothers. Have you heard of it?
Wow.
Luis said the last thing he remembered was the little people putting a tube up his nose and a transparent ball in his mouth. And the next thing he knew, he was bald and partially toothless on the jungle path 3 days later.
Oh, God, it sounds like he was partying with Motley Crue.
Indeed. They made him a little Christmas tree. That's not good.
I want to talk about the dream state of being involved in an alien abduction in this scenario. I think there's a reason why there's a halfway mark with all of this shit. People experience these things. People who have been abducted. People who have dealt firsthand with entities, quote unquote. A lot of times they talk about this kind of half world of logic where things kind of make sense, but also don't
like when you're on mushrooms trying to figure out your television. Remember that when I unplugged the TV a whole bunch and then we couldn't figure out how to plug it back in?
Yeah. Cause we were just looking at a bunch of cords like they were spaghetti. And then everyone's been like, where's the music?
That literally happened.
And then that's when I showed up and fixed everything and, you know, I showed my worth.
Isn't that funny that nobody remembers that part, Marcus?
Yeah, no one remembers that part, that I showed up and fixed everything and,
Thank you.
Thank you.
But there's something about, like, the tugs, this kind of halfway working, the pulling the teeth out, I don't know how to really describe it. It's a dream logic that doesn't make full and complete total sense. So in some way, shape, or form, if they are like just aliens from another planet coming to experiment on us, why is it not more like photorealistic? Why is it so dreamlike? Why are there, because it sounds like all of the things that happens in a nightmare. You know, when you like can't run away from the thing that's chasing you and you can't fight the person. It's like you automatically enter into this sort of liminal space where you and this, you're like in a shared reality with a thing that's maybe having a hard time staying in our dimension. Like, I wonder if that's a part of it. Like, them crossing over to here, if that is indeed what they're doing, is not complete. So you're only experiencing 50 to 70% of the event.
I think it's more, it could be that, but it could be that combined with the phenomenon of the human brain just not being able to understand things sometimes. Yeah. Like sometimes when you see, like you, sometimes the human brain cannot comprehend what is being fed into the eyeballs and the brain sort of fills in the gaps. And that could be what this is. It's the brain not understanding. It's just what these UFOs are dealing with, what they are on the inside. It's just too foreign for us to, but we have no frame of reference for it.
But it's crazy. These experiences are so much more brutal. Almost. I'm going to say almost because of the straight up rape that happens in U.S. abductions is like a different type of brutality. It seems more cold and clinical.
You're talking about casting. You're talking about Hollywood casting. Yes.
There are certain things you have to do and you have to be able to keep a secret if you want to make it in this town.
Okay.
But these events in Brazil are like getting the teeth half removed. I've never heard of in any other scenario.
Just sounds like they didn't do it right.
Yeah, they don't do anything right.
Okay, Mr. Parks.
I just find it interesting. Like, what is it about doing something incorrect that we're supposed to learn from?
Mm-hmm.
To not do it that way.
Yes.
Now, by this point, the people in this area of Brazil were getting mighty tired of the suck-suck, especially when new sighting zones around the country reached saturation levels so high that nary a night passed without a UFO sighting. And this wasn't just one small town. Like, this was a large swath of Brazil. Like, imagine if there were UFO sightings from Cleveland to New York City for a month straight.
Wow.
It's that area.
It's that thick.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, the Brazilian Air Force finally got involved, and Project Prato began, headed up by a man named Captain Urange Bolívar Suárez Nuguara de Holanda Lima, a.k.a. Captain Holanda.
So that's a guy who likes tan hats.
Well, that's a long badge. That's a long badge.
Now, when Captain Holanda showed up, he found that people were actually taking shots at the UFOs with rifles and pistols, which caused damn near every Air Force official to yell, "Jesus Christ, stop fucking doing that.
USA, USA, USA." I'm actually happy to hear that. That makes me feel less dumb for our country.
No, he said just stop doing it because it seemed to make it continue. Every single time they shot at them, they would actually come and be more aggressive. Well, The reason why Captain Holanda even got involved was because the mayor of Colares, which we're about to go to, which is an island community, the mayor of Colares finally had seen so many UFOs that he was so freaked out that he got there. Like, basically, there was like a posse of people together and they watched a group of UFOs. And this is according to the mayor of Colares. And it's an official record of Operation Plate, Prato, is that they looked up at the sky, they saw these UFOs fly over, and then the entire town's electricity went out.
Woo!
And so they sat there, and then finally, the mayor was like, "We are calling the Air Force."
Wow. Okay.
Now, unlike the experiences that civilians have had with the United States Air Force when it comes to UFO sightings in our territory, the Brazilian Air Force, while they were pretty hands-on, they seemed to be there at least a little bit to help out its citizens and to try to figure out what the fuck was going on. They actually showed up with a team of psychologists to help them deal with the panic that had overtaken the entire fucking region.
We didn't even do that after Hurricane Katrina, and that was definitely real.
Yeah. But they went and they set up an entire base. They set up a way to watch the skies. They put up video cameras and motion sensitive cameras to look up at the at any single moment. Where, this is one of the most
1978 technology though.
But for any time, this is one of the most comprehensive research attacks that a government has done on a UFO flap. They showed up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they brought cars, cameras, radio transmitters. They even fucking brought helicopters. And at one point tried chasing the UFO with the helicopter, but they turned around when the UFOs started chasing them.
Whoa! The prey.
The hunter becomes the prey.
It's really true. It is wild. This, of all of the alien stories we've ever covered, really shows
it's scary.
Try to do it. This is fucking crazy. Yeah. Kolaris blew up.
Okay. Yeah.
But even so, the presence of the Air Force did nothing to stop the attacks. One woman named Claudio Mira Rodriguez said that she was sleeping in her hammock outside when she was awoken by a beam of green light. She looked up and saw a UFO, and inside was a man wearing something like a diving suit, carrying something like a pistol. And it was from this pistol that the green light was emitting.
I was playing with my cat. Now I'm playing with you.
Really? Wow.
Claudio Maria said that when the beam struck her chest, it took a little blood and left three scars in a triangle. And she said it felt like being struck with a hot needle. Afterward, she was terrified and thirsty. And when she became paralyzed, because the paralysis came on slowly, she started screaming. And she was taken to a hospital where she was treated for an abnormally high fever for weeks.
Damn.
But what's even more interesting is that when Captain Holanda was interviewing her about the experience, a goddamn UFO zipped right past. And he wasn't the only one to see it that night.
It seems like these UFOs are taunting them.
Yeah, absolutely. They are conscious of whatever they know that humans are paying attention. Mm. And Captain Holanda is a very interesting personality, too. Because even after all this shit, he said that he probably saw 20 UFOs himself during this time period, but he still does not fully believe, because he's like, I still am looking for another explanation, because I refuse to believe if they're coming here to kill us that they haven't just outright killed us altogether.
Well, perhaps they're peaceful, like Stephen Greer says.
I don't want to bring up Stephen Greer. He's a disinformation agent.
That's what you say.
He wants it too fucking much, and he charges $2,500 a pop.
That's what you're mad about.
Bongos. I mean, that's a part of it.
But that's why you're upset.
No, Stephen Greer, he likes these aliens a little bit too much.
Yeah, well.
I think you got to be careful when you make a deal with the Hildefolk.
First right. Encounters of the Fifth Kind, if you want some info on Stephen Greer. Horrible shoes.
That's why you can't trust him.
New Balance.
Overall, Holanda interviewed between 200 and 300 people over a 6-month period. And by the end of it, he and his team were able to document 8 distinct styles of UFO. You had the disc with windows, the rectangle with a barrel on the side.
That's the chupa chupa. That's like the classic chupa chupa.
Oh, that's the suck. Okay.
Yeah. The pyramid with the top cut off, the cigar, the arrowhead, the dome, the black and the white, and the ball with 3 sticks.
Ooh. The ball with 3 sticks is also very interesting.
That's the Polish one.
I'll kill you. I'll fucking kill you.
Yes, indeed.
But the ball with 3 sticks actually was recently seen over San Diego. The same type of structure where you see that orb with the 3 little landing gear. It's cute as hell. To me, that's like the VW bug of these.
Small on the outside, big on the inside, much like how Marcus is a thin on the outside, fat on the inside.
Yeah, I actually eat very healthily.
The VW, no, we talked about this on Side Stories, your love of the sweets, although you just have
candy.
A bite.
You have the little bites of candy.
Yeah, I just take a little bite. I consume so much less sugar than the 2 of you beer drinkers do.
I know! Wow!
But what's seemingly distinct to Brazil is what came after a sighting. Several reports said that sometimes, after a craft or a ball of light appeared, a window in the sky could be seen that seemed to be looking out onto a different place entirely.
Cool, like Phantasm.
Fucking take me, dude.
I want to see the window in the sky. I want to take fucking 75 milligrams of edibles.
Sure.
Get myself one last Philly cheesesteak.
Oh.
And then just give me a little bit of a ladder into the hole so I can look up in there. Oh, I just am curious.
And to them, you'd be really big. Isn't that interesting? So you get to suffer. You get to live in that reality where everything is too tiny because it's built by little people.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'll be a sexual curiosity.
Uh-huh.
I'll be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Uh-huh.
I'll be out there fucking playing hoops. I'll fucking join the Alien Basketball Association. Destroy it up there doing crossovers, being like the fucking the new Larry Bird.
The new Larry Bird, Henry Zebrowski. Well, we know from Space Jam, aliens are actually quite good.
Now, since there was so much attention given to these sightings, it was natural that the press would become involved. And it was actually a couple of journalists who experienced one of the most aggressive, if somewhat petulant, encounters with the UFOs. But before that happened, these two men had a different kind of encounter that was also experienced by multiple people in the area.
You know what was weird about this specific encounter was that the reporters... Everybody was having UFO like moments. So these guys really wanted they wanted the scoop. They wanted to see it. And so what they did was there was a rumor that if you use the colors red, black, and yellow, that it would attract the UFOs. There was something about they said that it was often seen on the dome-shaped crafts or the normal, like the disco viades, the actual like flying saucer shapes, would have stripes of red, black, and yellow on them. And so what they did was paint the top of their car red, black, and yellow. This is true. And before going out, scoping for UFOs.
Interesting.
Until what happened.
Well, with any luck, people will confuse them for Texas Tech fans who are red, black, and white.
That's right.
Yellow. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Get your guns up.
My guns aren't as high as they used to be after spending a week in Lubbock. Yeah.
Mm. No, you are very upset with those people.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, they're real easygoing right now, if you know what I mean.
Yes, indeed. Lubbock.
But they're also, like, really mad, though, at the same time,
super
which is interesting.
Super mad about, like, everything and, like, really aggressive and, like, want to tell you about it, whether you want to hear about it or not. Well, the journalists said they were sleeping in their car when they were woken up by a powerful beam of light.
Oh.
But the light wasn't shining through the windows. Instead, it was actually shining through the roof of the car, passing through the solid metal completely as if the paneling was made of glass. And this happened again and again to people like in their homes, in their cars. They said it was a very unsettling thing to witness.
Cool.
Well, there was one story Jacques Vallée was talking about a woman talking. He was kind of talking about the abduction experience in general. And this happens a lot. You know, how often you travel through where they say abductees are taken from one spot and they see themselves traveling through their house or through a ship, where a woman was before the incident happened, she was lying in bed and she realized she could see the moon from her bed and looked up and her ceiling was gone. And then all of a sudden the ship rolled over and then she was slowly tractor beamed up.
Wow.
The petulant part with the journalists, however, came a few days later. Those same dudes actually spotted one of the craft and they tried taking a picture, but when the flashbulb went off, the light coming from the UFO became bright and solid, and it shattered the car's windshield.
Whoa, woo! Sean Penn.
Cool.
he hates paparazzi.
Yes, he does. Well, they hunt him down.
And still, the attacks continued for years after. Each one was followed by numbness, paralysis, dizziness, headaches, diarrhea, vomiting, and chest pains for days, if not months afterward. And some victims lost the will to live completely.
Really?
And what does that run alongside of? Radiation poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And it wasn't just the poor farmers and fishermen either. One of the largest landowners in the region, Genuncio de Souza, was almost pulled into a silo-shaped craft by what appeared to be a man and a woman. Genuncio said that when the light started pulling him up, he wrapped his arms around a tree, which caused the beam to pull him up and down, up and down, up and down, until his chest was scraped raw.
And the alien was yelling, "All aboard the cuck train! All aboard the cuck train!" But who would be the cuck? We don't know.
Finally, the UFO tried a new tactic and covered Genuncio in something like hot oil to get him to let go.
It fucking shot UFO bullshit all over him.
Speed. Could have done without that, sir.
That's a wild afternoon. He's like gripping onto a tree. Your ankles are getting tugged. For the love of God, I didn't even pay for this. I'm a landowner.
He persisted. And the aliens gave up after only 2 minutes. And like many people before and after, Genuncio was afraid to go outside for the rest of his life and never fully regained either his strength or his health.
Wow.
Do you think that at some point, again, maybe it was some excuse for just being covered in oil to begin with?
Yeah.
Can you explain it?
Same damn thing happened to his son, Beto, a couple of months later, right down to the hot oil.
Now, how hot was the oil? Was it super hot? Did it burn the skin?
Not super hot. It was warm, uncomfortably oil. Hot. Yeah.
So massage oil, kind of.
Yeah.
But warm. Warm enough where it's like, what the fuck? This is warm. This is very, very warm.
Oh, yeah, I want a rub, yeah.
Because then it gets all viscous, and you're sitting there, and you and your father is just as wet as a couple of eels.
Look at that. Yep, can't hug your father then.
No, yeah, just flopping around like a couple of salmons. Both of you've got your ankles tugged, and both of you don't know what happened. It sounds like a regular Thanksgiving over at the Kissel House.
Lucky lady, I'll tell you that.
Now, as scary as all these encounters are, nobody actually saw a UFO deliberately kill a person outside of, you know, that 1946 story.
Right.
And Jacques Vallée tried finding a witness, but the closest he came to a UFO murder in the 70s was a guy who had a heart attack, fell out of a tree, and died during an encounter.
That's the tree's fault.
I think it's the heart's fault, really.
That's manslaughter, I would say. Yeah, negligent homicide.
Well, he climbed the tree. Did the aliens put him up in the tree?
The aliens were pulling him up, and he grabbed onto the tree. He had a heart attack, fell out, and died.
I couldn't take it. Couldn't take the heat.
Well, there is a lot of talk about, especially on Jacques Vallée's side, about are they purposefully attacking? I don't know. It sounds sometimes the way he describes it is that they necessarily weren't purposefully attacking. It sounds like they either surprised the UFO, which is a very interesting concept, that they stumbled upon the UFO and it was some sort of self-defense mechanism, or oftentimes the UFO is seen scanning the ground with the same exact beam that they are getting zapped with. So they also wonder whether or not, what if there's a stun beam that you'd normally use for an abduction, something like that. And instead, if they're too physically close, it kills them. Or they're doing a beam on something else, and they're trying to maybe, God knows what it does, it makes frogs gay. And then it turns over, and it bounces off of you, and then you get cancer from it.
And, I mean, what Jacques Vallée said is that if they are trying to kill us, they are doing a terribly bad job at it. A nut with a sniper rifle would have a higher kill count than what is assumed to be a highly advanced race of beings.
Well, I don't know if there's anyone more advanced than a psycho with a sniper rifle, because they are scary and they can kill.
I'm scared.
I don't have a sniper rifle. I want to get a big gun. I want a six shooter.
See, you say this about a gun. I prefer just one nuclear bomb.
Yeah, just one.
Had one, I'd fix a lot of problems in this country.
Don't think you would.
You'd destroy a lot of stuff. No, you don't understand. No. It's called leverage.
That's Battlefield Earth. So, yes.
You know, plenty of people, they did die after the UFO encounter. It just happened days, weeks, or months afterwards. But it was a result of the UFO experience. And there are some who believe that an entire group of hunters who were found dead in the Parnarama region of Brazil were killed after a UFO encounter in the jungle. I think it was like 1981, right?
Ooh, it's like Predator.
It is like fucking Predator. That's dope.
Oh, shit. Even with the triangle, dots.
If it blitz, we can kill it.
Yeah, that's so cool. Man, I'm so happy that all of us are in the army and all of us are so cool.
Yeah, my buddies, you and me.
Yeah. Marcus, we're in the army now.
We're in the army. Cool. Yeah, it's so cool being in the army. That's what's cool about it.
Put me in there.
Yeah, I'm in demolitions. Yeah. And catering.
Now, even though the Brazilian government took all of this very seriously, and they even supposedly have pictures and videos stored away, they still denied that all of these encounters were caused by UFOs, at least at the time. But in 1986, many years before disclosure here in the United States, the Brazilian government openly acknowledged the existence of UFOs by holding a press conference to announce they've been tracking 21 UFOs on radar in the previous days, and several of their jets had chased the UFOs to no avail.
Woo-wee!
It is, Brazil is a interesting UFO country, because in 2005, they had a big old disclosure event as well. They popped open the records of Operation Plate, and they discovered all of the actual hard evidence that they had found. And while they had very little video, they had some kind of pictures that were a little bit on the edge, because people didn't quite understand if you could identify or not. But what they did have was sheets and sheets and sheets of officers saying, luminous light. Saw a pyramid move from here to here. Like, of this witness testimony.
When we spoke with John Tenney, he was talking about the pyramids and the triangles. I believe that was all over Detroit. It seems like that's a really common form for these UFOs to take.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Black Vault. The Black Vault has all of the Operation Prato documents on
there. Isn't that what Geraldo Rivera opened on that television special? Remember that from 1992?
Now, the attacks died down as the 70s turned to the 80s. But in 1990, the UFOs returned and began attacking people in the exact same ways that they'd done a decade before, using the same pulling light and causing the same adverse effects. But the weird thing was that they still weren't very good at it, if abducting people was indeed their goal. Moises Campeão, a farmer in his mid-30s, was faced one night with a bright flash of light, which was followed by an unsettling craft as large as a house that was noiselessly and slowly spinning.
Is it possible they were just fishing for nutrients the way that someone will throw a large net into the ocean, but the next thing you know, there's a dolphin in there? You say, I don't want a dolphin, damn it, I like the dolphins. And then, of course, the dolphin has to escape.
That is a theory. Again, if they are nuts and bolts, actual extraterrestrials, maybe they are here on some form of research study.
Getting sucked up, and the people are just in the wrong spot at the wrong time.
Well, everything around Moises lit up even brighter after that, and everything got very hot. He started to rise into the air, so rigidly paralyzed that the cookies he was carrying under his arm were crushed.
Oh, no. My cookies!
My cookies!
This could also just be like the story he made up after he ate all the cookies.
Oh, why
are we gonna go that far? We don't have to fat shame these people.
Oh, he's a fat guy who has to have his cookies.
You're abducted and you still ate all the cookies?
Yeah, it's not like I wasn't any less hungry because the fear really sparks it, so.
It's weird, though, because you were getting probed and they let you have them, huh?
I know. I shouldn't have been messing with my new cookie crop. These cookie trees are real sensitive, and I'm just running out of the cool milk it takes to grow them.
Brazil is an awesome place.
But just as suddenly, Moises was let down to the ground gently, and both the light and the UFO settled on top of a nearby tree. Then it started doing it again, using the light to pick him up and set him down, pick him up and set him down, over and over again.
Why are you doing? Why are you doing it?
My cookies!
My cookies!
The last time, the light just dropped him, and he fell so hard, his left eye swelled and bulged out of his head.
Woo.
And it took him a year before he could see out of it again.
Like Vader when he got his eye poked out.
Yeah. And like most of the others, he no longer goes outside at night.
I mean, they have to face the fear. At some point, you got to go outside at night.
It's very, very scary.
I guess.
Other encounters, however, were not so dramatic. A man named Antonio da Silva, nicknamed Balinga.
That's just how you know he's joking.
Balinga!
He said he was walking home with his brother and his donkey late one night when they heard a loud pinging sound. Both men quickly hid underneath the donkey, with Balinga wrapping himself around the front legs while his brother, Wow, wrapped around the back.
Oh,
I mean, come on, it's you or the donkey.
I know,
it's also, I've heard that's the safest place you can be during an earthquake is under a donkey.
And they stayed under the donkey for several minutes, and while the light did strike Balinga on the back, it didn't pull.
Just getting covered in donkey piss and donkey shit.
Yep.
Well, okay. Well, by the time the UFO left, Balinga found that his shirt was covered in a thick, oily, yellowish grease that smelled terrible. He was convinced that it came from the UFO, but his wife quickly surmised that it was indeed donkey piss.
This is the only one that doesn't check out.
This is the one. But also, think about how scared that donkey was.
I mean, I just feel like it's that scene from Kingpin where it's like, milk the donkey. Be like, we don't have a donkey. Wait, is there milk in donkeys? And what I'm saying is he got pissed on. He was jerking off the donkey.
Him and his brother were having sex with the donkey, and this is another story to cover up?
Yes.
And there are other goofy stories besides this one. I mean, back in 1965, two salesmen claimed they came upon a UFO while they were driving through Brazil, and then the UFO landed, and then two robots came out. But then the men shot the robots.
Honestly, the only way to get rid of a UFO encounter is just be like, hey, you want to buy a vacuum? And then the UFO is like, I'm going. You want to, what about shower curtains?
Have you heard about our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ?
So anyway, it's so great that you abducted me because I'm here to tell you about Herbalife. And if I can get 18 of your species on board, you're going to make money.
Well, the robots, in the men's words, after they shot them with rifles, silently exploded.
Cool.
Which blinded the men for 15 minutes. And when they recovered, both the UFO and the robots were gone.
Those are just the enemies from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game.
But this... Yeah. Is a very common occurrence in UFO sightings and all of the, something about the way our brains interpret it and what it's supposed to mean. Jacques Vallée calls all of this a massive control system. He believes that there is some form of us working with this dimensional intelligence, whether it's intrinsically a part of the reality that we are in, like maybe it's an earth thing, baby, that we're like a part of, or is it this other thing that knows us and it's trying to teach us something, but it also plays upon our pop culture references. We see these robots pop out of the ship. You see this quite often.
Right.
Every generation, it changes. It goes into medieval times, saw the chariot. It's in the sky. They all, read Passport to Magonia again, you fucking pieces of shit. Before you start telling me,
you're making yourself
I start
mad.
Getting the
no one else is arguing with you.
Getting on this show,
no one's literally made yourself mad. That is the old Polish argument. That's classic.
My shoulder hurts.
Yeah, you did that.
Well, what's interesting outside of the goofy realm is the allegation that in 1996, the Brazilian military captured two living aliens in what is known as the Varginha UFO incident.
Whoa!
The story is that on one rainy night, two young women in the town of Varginha found aliens squatting in a vacant lot, obviously lost and scared. They were humanoid, appeared to be 3 feet tall, thereabouts, and were hairless, with big triangular heads, red eyes, long arms, and short legs.
Oh, cute.
They are kind of cute.
It's like
one
ET.
One had a little pot belly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
he's like, fat boy. Oh my God. He's like that, what is it, Mac and Me?
Yeah. Mac and Me, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little fat.
But the weird thing was that they both had huge veins in their necks, shoulders, arms, chest, and back. It's like the kind of veins you might see in a weightlifter.
Yeah, oh. With Sylvester Stallone with his like HGH rattled 80-year-old.
He's looking better than ever.
He has got so many veins you could play him like a guitar.
But apparently, didn't he take the robot out of the new Rocky or something? They got the robot. They got rid of the robot, I think.
Yeah, he is retconning the past.
Oh,
like a fascist.
I agree. It's crazy. You can't change history.
But from what sources say, the Brazilian government handed these aliens over to our government, where, if this was all real, we probably killed and dissected them.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely didn't, like, make them baseball players. I don't know. I guess so. What else do you... I mean, honestly...
You gotta look and see how their penises work. We always
but you
do
gotta
that.
Keep, but you gotta keep one alive. If you have two, I mean, that would be amazing.
It depends on whether or not he's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. However, there is speculation that the quote unquote alien that the girl saw was actually a local mentally unstable homeless man nicknamed Mudinho. So named because he was usually covered in mud for one reason or another.
Oh. He could have been coming from the spa.
I don't know.
Some people spend hundreds of dollars to be covered with fancy mud.
You never know why people are covered in mud.
But in the beginning of the Kolaris, just to step back, it was interesting to see one of the original theories was that when people were seeing these ships with spotlights taking our blood, one of the first instincts was that they thought it was U.S. technology coming to terrorize them.
Yeah. Well, that is just a testament to how we have spread fear
across the globe.
It's like our major export.
Yeah, in the late 70s, America did not have the best reputation in South America.
As opposed to the 80s.
It got even better in the
80s. Yeah, now they love us.
Of course.
They just fucking love us now.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's great.
And UFO sightings are still happening even today in Brazil. Just a few months ago, in May, thousands of people in the municipality of Maje, just north of Rio de Janeiro, saw and filmed multiple glowing lights in the sky.
Something magical about Brazil, isn't
there? I would love to go see any one of these UFO hotspots, but we cover this on Side Stories, and it's another one of those where it sounded like a very physical thing crashed into the ground, and there seemed to be a pretty extensive researcher, like they went and they and there was a big old investigation, and the Brazilian government was being more hesitant this time to say what it was, which actually in my mind points more towards, is there some sort of like technology that crashed? Like, is there a Black Hawk down thing going on in the middle of Brazil right now?
Could be.
And with all the, you know, camera phone footage that we see, it's like every single UFO sighting caught on a camera phone. It's difficult to say exactly what the lights are. But no matter what the Maje sightings were, we still have no idea what happened way back when. And the mystery of what went down in Brazil in the 70s and 90s will most likely remain a mystery forever.
Forever!
The dangerous UFOs of Brazil!
No.
That was cool! Usually we have much more peaceful interactions or different interactions with the UFO, but these are very intriguing indeed.
I wonder why they got so aggressive down there. You honestly feel like, I mean, maybe they got some of that Nazi runoff energy.
Well, isn't that fun, the way you continue to make those jokes?
I didn't say anything to you.
No, not at all.
I said nothing to Kissel that time,
not
did I,
all.
Dog Me?
No, you absolutely did not. No, that was Nazis escaping the South America joke. Which...
Intriguing. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much.
It's fair.
Mainland hide in Brazil. Yeah.
I know the boys from Brazil. It's not as spicy as you might think. Okay.
Very good. Steve Gutenberg was very good.
It's incredible.
It is so hard to jerk off to that movie, though.
It really is. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We are excited to bring you a spooky October every Saturday. Should we plug this?
We have to. 6 p.m. on the West Coast, 9 p.m. on the East Coast. We'll be at twitch.tv/lastpodcastnetwork. We will be doing Haunt Your House for charity. This week, we will be working with the charity Be an Arts Hero.
Absolutely.
And we will hopefully, they're trying to create legislation that will help fix some of the entire entertainment industry that is about to permanently shut down in the United States of America because of the botched rollout of the pandemic handling
you
by the
say,
U.S. government.
You say botched, I say have a nice vacation for a year. All right. Yes, so check that out. We can't wait to see
Come
you
check
on
it
Saturday.
Out.
Hope we- everyone is having a great spooky beginning to October.
All October long, we got some fucking real spooky shit happening next week.
Hell yeah.
And then afterwards, we're going to be getting a little bit more asusio. We're going to get very, very dirty and a little bit nasty. Halloween is going to be, I mean, this is
It ain't canceled, by the way.
It's not canceled, not my fucking heart, not my home.
Absolutely not. Halloween is where the heart is. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for supporting the shows here. Check out No Dogs in Space. Who are you covering now?
We are in the middle of Dead Kennedys still. It's a
gigantic. Okay.
Dead Kennedys is a huge story, much bigger than we thought it was going to be. It is a fascinating story. And on this week's episode, we're going to be getting into the early 80s.
Cool.
At least when it comes out, we're still catching up. So it's going to be a couple days late. We're still catching up from, you know, everything that happened before, but it'll be out soon.
And speaking of Dead Kennedys, check out Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. We keep you up to date on all the wonderful horrors of the real world. Not the UFOs are not real, but
thank you.
Sadly, the real world of our American politics state. We also have Whiz Brew, Side Stories, obviously. Well, you know where to check out all the shows. So just, and of course, Fraudsters. Thank
Fraudsters.
You all so much for that. It's kind of a new hit.
We got Fraudsters. We got Page 7, Wizard and the Bruiser. Check it out. If there's a flavor you want on your tongue, we here at the Baskin Robbins of Podcastery, we can just smear your whole throat with it.
Yes, indeed. And kind of fun. We're now covering basketball and football as well. And of course, we will always give you the wrestling news you need to know because it's a fun sport where boys wrestle boys and girls wrestle girls. And they're not wearing a lot of clothes.
Yep. I saw that. I was watching some of that.
Uh-huh.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much.
Oh, and check out lastpodcastmerch.com because, hey, don't what? You want
when
just a little bit of something coming in the mail? That's why I buy it. Shirts. I buy shirts all the time because it's just nice to have something to just like look forward to.
It really is, honestly. It's very important. All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Oh, hail Geen.
Magoostalations, everybody.
Hey, how about hail me if you you want to get out there and hail me with a quarter or something? That'd be nice.
Oh my God, Henry, you're covered in donkey piss.
Oh, I know. I paid for this.
Hello, I'm Ed Larson. I need to tell you about my new documentary coming out called How America Killed My Mother. In 2016, my mother passed away suddenly from diabetes. Between the cost of medicine, overdraft fees from banks, credit cards, predatory casinos, we couldn't keep up. So I took the insurance money and I made this movie. How America Killed My Mother is available from October 2nd to November 5th for rental and purchase on Vimeo. Just go to howamericakilledmymother.com right now to watch.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.